Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. How you doing, brother?
I'm good.
Good?
I'm good. It's not quite as blistering outside as it was.
Not going to lie, it was 92 on my car temp outside yesterday when we were leaving this building.
Right.
And before I got to Prairie Meadows, it was 70.
Well, yeah, because you went right into the belly of the beast. It's I maybe got 15 raindrops from Urbandale to by the airport, but it was very dark and very active to the east of here.
I didn't get much rain, but man, the temperature change was crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to top out at like 79, a low of 59 tonight or something like that.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
We're supposed to.
That's really good weather.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll
you
take that
can
all day long.
Check us out on Twitter at @ScottBrower_13, @SteenOnSports, @1700TheChamp, and @HappyHour_SS. Facebook's @1700TheChamp as well. Tonight, Twins Rays going to be joined in progress. I did not look last night to see what the score was last night of said game. That was Tuesday.
Yep.
What we got? The Twins got beat. They got shut out, it looked like. Did I miss that? 7-0.
Yeah, 7-0 Twins and Rays. Yeah.
Eek.
Eek. Eek.
Yeah.
And that's good sports radio right there.
Eek. Okay. Geez, what else do we have? We are going to Northwest Bank after the show tonight.
One of our major sponsors, been with us forever, has a customer appreciation party, which is usually an outside endeavor. And I was a little worried this afternoon as that cell came through, but I think it's going to be a beautiful night.
Hey, it is going to be a beautiful night.
Hang in the yard with them.
Saying that, I also have where I forgot the name of it already. Simon's. I'm going to Simon's for dinner tonight with some of our Dowling parents and kids.
Wonderful. Are you going to get salmon or what are you getting?
Yes.
I know.
That's typically.
That's your go-to
that's
right
my
now.
Go-to now. So we want to thank Northwest Bank, as always, for being one of our sponsors. Woodman Controls as well. Heritage Building Maintenance and Palmer Group. And Randy Wehofer is, as far as we know, he's coming in today.
Okay.
No
isn't,
game.
Is it softball in the mix now?
I don't know.
So I guess, it could be
on a Wednesday. Might. I don't know. I did not get a phone call from him, so I'm assuming that he will be coming in. A lot to talk about in the baseball world, by the way. So interesting on that part.
Well, hopefully he is traffic free and has a full tank of fuel.
Yes, that's been our two sticking points, right? Some of the biggest news today. Messi going to the MLS. I said that this morning. You know, some of the biggest sports news today, Messi, and two of the guys at work went, what happened that was Messi?
Oh, geez.
I'm like, no,
really?
Messi coming to play. You know, and the funny thing about all that being said was he was comparing Messi coming like David Beckham came here. David Beckham was past his prime by a little bit. And even though Messi has a lot of money, David Beckham was a much better financial astute person because he pretty much got ownership stake that he's now turned into ownership, which he then turned into buying a team by selling his ownership and everything but soccer.
If you know what we could, if you want to get into this, you know, Messi is 35.
He is.
That's not exactly.
He's not a spring chicken.
A youngster on that.
No,
but
just got tired of. It's not easy to play in the Bundesliga and everywhere. So right.
And so he's with Miami. They call it Inter Miami, which is the international football team of Miami or whatever.
Yes.
But okay, with his deal that he is working out, Apple came.
Yeah, so he's getting TV rights because it's
played so it's
on
exactly,
Apple TV.
So he's getting a percentage.
So that's his way of getting extra money.
Extra money? This is okay. Creative pitched to sign him, which includes Apple offering a share of revenue generated by new subscribers to the MLS season pass on Apple TV Plus. Along with that, Adidas is offering profit sharing and a profit sharing agreement, which they've also had a deal with him since, what was it, 06 on a shoe line. Plus, he has, yeah, he's a lifetime footwear deal with him.
Yep.
He's not going to do too bad. But
yeah.
Is once you start kind of dialing up and looking into this and stuff like that, the best story I actually on this one was, and the headline will just be simply this: Messi turned down $1 billion from the Saudis to join Miami because his wife didn't want to live in the Gulf. It was a 2-year, $1.2 billion deal.
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
And then when you finally,
well, good, because they got all their money tied up in golf now.
They do.
Yeah.
And a funny thing, because that one as well is not going away. And I think we all know that.
Yeah, but I think the conversation is going to be different today with you and I.
It is. It is going to be different. Rightfully so. I think the biggest thing, and Commissioner Moynihan stated some of this last night.
You mean CEO?
Yes. And he came out for somebody that I mean, if you throw this out, the whole live and all that and how it was handled and everything, and then the 180, if you throw all that out, for the most part, most players liked him because their money in purses and everything have gone. I mean, they've skyrocketed.
Gone up considerably with him as commissioner, yes.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, I think it's still a big deal. I think it's a story. I think it's less of a story than it was yesterday based on when you start hearing some more things. Number one, this never would have happened if Greg Norman was still involved in anything. So Greg Norman got left out in the cold. Didn't even get told, which was strange since he's like the person that runs LIV for the Saudis. Didn't even tell him.
Okay. I guess the thing to address with our conversations here,
yes,
is it's not LIV. How do I say this? LIV and the PGA did not combine.
No.
That was the initial. It's the money behind LIV. LIV is going to end up going away.
Right.
They're going to take some good things from it. I think one of the things I heard today was it was like, what was it? The NFL absorbed the AFL.
Right.
Right? The NBA absorbed the ABA. You got the teams. But so they're going to take some things from LIV.
Exactly.
And now because... Like, you hear the grumbling still out of Rory. There's going to be a team aspect. Yeah, there's going to be, you know, well, some weekend there's going to be, you're going to play a team game. But it's going to be PGA style.
Right.
So with this being said, the money that was behind LIV is now, let's call them the platinum sponsor of the PGA.
Right.
And the DB, which is the European League.
Yes.
Okay. So it's going to be a World Golf League. It's going to do great things for the game because it is a massive. I mean, it's unfathomable the amount of money they can put behind this.
The amount of money is incredible, and it's gonna, right. It's only gonna get bigger, and yeah, it's
and so with all the negatives that have been thrown out with Jay Monahan of you know you're preaching patriotism and all these different things, and then you turn around and now you work for them. It's, I hate to say it, but they said, you're going to take the worst heat in your life. You're going to have constantly berated this, this, and this. Oh, by the way, this is the check here. Just look at the number. Okay, let's talk about all the bad things that are going to happen to you again. Okay, you understand that? Shaking your
yep.
head. And let's look at the size of the check one more time. And we're good?
And we're good.
Yes, we are.
And what he said today, which I thought was in the right direction, because there was a lot of players that got offered money. Tiger and Rory. Tiger got offered $800 million.
Yes.
Rory got offered $300 million.
No, Rory was an up.
With five. Was he five?
Yeah, it 500. Was north so of five when it was all
it
said
was
and done.
$300 million different than Tiger. Ish.
Tiger's ending number was a billion. From what, I mean, it was
a lot.
Unbelievable.
Right.
They just were playing with him.
Yeah.
Oh, does this get your attention?
Does this one?
Okay, now that's not an M, that's a B. Does that get your attention?
So what Moynihan said today was, those two guys for what they did last year in staying and keeping this tour together will be rewarded handsomely, is what he said. Now, I don't know if Rory and Tiger will take that money. I'm assuming
I have it somewhere in my listing here with Rory. He said, is the money the right thing? No. Am I going to take the money? Absolutely, I'm going to take the money.
Mm. You know, Tiger has no reason why not to take the money.
Right, exactly.
So, and that would be my next, if I'm Commissioner Moynihan, in the next week, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to Tiger, and I'm going, Tiger, you understand golf, and you may understand the corporate world better than I do, but you understand all of these guys, and all of these guys are looking to you. You need to come and be the assistant CEO or something. You still get to have your hands in golf.
Why would he do it? It's not his stoic PGA anymore, is it?
Because he cares more about golf than anybody else does. Just the game of golf. That matters. He never played for money. He played for winning. And he knew the money would come. Everybody else is backwards. They want the money, and they want the endorsements, and they want all that, and then they want to go out and perform. He did the opposite. He's like, it probably, in the beginning, it had nothing to do with Tiger, and it had everything to do with his mom and dad. And I put his mom in there, too, because I think she played a bigger role than dad. Even though dad was with him all the time, I still think that he went for big-time advice. I think he went to his mom.
Right.
And he's different. And the reason that I think Rory is, listen, it's a tough thing for Rory today, too, because as much as he hated it, and Tiger flat out said, the only thing that I've saw from Tiger is Greg Norman's no longer involved. I can live with the rest. We just have to deal with it. That was his sticking point, too. He didn't like Greg Norman, which,
well, Greg Norman,
I hate that for Greg Norman.
I do, too, but Tiger feels that Greg Norman poo-pooed on his game.
Yeah.
The game that he loved.
Right. And that's,
but then again, Greg Norman also thinks the game poo-pooed on him.
And he just never thought that he got, you know, and listen, before there was Tiger, it was Jack and Arnie. Right. You know, the really funny thing about it, even though Gary Player and Lee Trevino had a bit of that too, it's all the way through, it's always been American born people that have had their faces on Mount Rushmore of golf. Now they've changed, but you've never had someone, and it just irked Greg Norman because in his 10, 12 year career, he was the best player in the world, even though he couldn't win a major.
Right.
And so I don't know. I'm not a huge Greg Norman fan, but I'm not anti Greg Norman either. I didn't like it because he always did the same thing, and that's exactly what he did here. When he didn't get his way, he took his clubs and went home and pouted. And nobody likes that. Nobody likes that.
I'm sure his paycheck is just fine too.
Yeah, he's not, none of these
to
guys
me right are now hurting. Are it's the winners are the your mid-level guys. Your Pat Perez.
Right.
What did he get?
Your Joel Damon.
He got $40 million, $45 million.
Oh, those guys. The mid-level guys that went to live.
Yeah, that went to
live. They get to keep their money.
They get to keep their money.
Now, they have to work their way back. I don't know all the things they have to do.
How hard are you
going to
work?
Yeah. I don't know how many things you have to do. You have to ask for reinstatement. Are you really going to turn down some of these guys?
Let's see. Pat Perez, you got $45 million now. You can still play golf when you want to. He's one. The Chive loves him. He's all over those.
Yes.
And it just cracks me up.
Joel Damon is the reason is it Swing? Is that the Netflix thing?
Full Swing.
The reason that was he was the best thing. I actually like Thagala the best because that's the guy I'm starting to follow. Sigath Thagala, 20.
Good job out of you.
Yeah, 21, 22 years old. Man, the kid's a cool dude.
I like Tony Finau.
Tony Finau. I love him.
There you go.
Tony Finau as well. His family deal, all that stuff
is great.
I like, we need that part in golf. The other, you just need these guys still have to have their feet held to the fire to make sure they're playing in the tournaments they're supposed to be playing in.
Right.
I like that part of it, that you get to see Jordan Spieth most of the weeks, because there's no longer the Greensboro Open unless it's off season, and then that gives everybody else a chance to play. I'm okay with that.
Let's go through a couple of these with Rory Mac.
Yep.
Rory, this morning, these are the seven juiciest statements that came out.
I love it.
Okay. This one got to me. He goes, "It's hard for me not to sit up here and feel like somewhat of a sacrificial lamb."
I think I totally agree with him that PGA
hung
out Tiger and Rory.
Yeah.
Nobody else, because those are the two. Right. That's the two faces. Yeah. That's the reason everybody stayed and didn't take the money, except for the ones that went and took the money. The rest of them, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, all those guys, they didn't take the money because of those two. So they are sacrificial lambs.
Right. The very first one that came out from Rory was, "I still hate Liv. I hate them. I hope it goes away, and I expect that it does."
Yep.
I believe that as well.
And I don't think Liv has, I think what people said today, the Saudi government knew it had a loser, and they don't lose very often.
No.
So they said, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to change our cards. We're going to get the one thing. I guarantee you, behind closed doors, they said, "I don't care what you want to do and how much money you want, but all of them come back." Okay. Even Bryson DeChambeau, he even gets to come back.
It was never about the quality of golf. It was about flexing muscles. So we'll come back and hit that again.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. More golf. Who thought? This is the greatest time of the year to talk golf. Exactly. What else are we talking about?
Woo-hoo.
Scott and I'll be right back.
It was.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We are more than halfway through the week. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at @ScottBrower_13, @SteenOnSports, @1700TheChamp, and @HappyHour_SS. Facebook @1700TheChamp. Twins Rays again tonight. Joined in progress right when we walk out the door. So check that out. I don't think I missed anything. And you got the first read. This is a special one for today.
Because they're having their appreciation party. Northwest Bank, commitments you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agricultural, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for doing ease. Ease of doing banking when your phone is in your hand. Also take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank, which you did, correct?
I did.
Is that done?
It is in past approval, going to closing, online. They keep me updated.
There you go. All right. Once again, don't wait and open an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment you can count on, member FDIC.
Thank you very much. You have to help me with this because I'd either have to ask you or ask Mike Lacy. This breaking news. To our fans, Slipknot is announcing that we have parted ways with Craig Jones. We wish Jones all the best for the future. Who's Craig Jones?
You're probably going to have to, I'm more of a Corey Taylor James Root.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know who, well, that's the one.
They should go bling here in a second with our friends, but.
Yes. So I'm just wondering that, and two Slipknot fans, are you and Mike Lacy that I know? I love listening. I mean, I love listening to everything that some of these guys have put out, because when they're singing other things that you don't realize, they're really good. I mean, they're really good at Slipknot. I've said, everybody always asks me when I, over on John Patterson Road, which is up on a hill, and in the fall on a good day, I can almost see down to the fairground all the way down there.
Yes.
And they said, when concerts are playing, what's it like? I said, well, I can hear them. It's mostly boom, boom, boom that I can hear.
Right.
It sounded like Slipknot was playing in my front yard.
Right.
That's how loud it was.
Right. Craig Jones was the one. He, great big spike, out of the mask. The spike, he was the keyboardist, but he also was the sampler. So when they did songs that had overdubbing or whatever and stuff like
that's
so
what he did.
Interesting.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Interesting.
So just breaking news on the sports show with Slipknot. Who had that on their bingo card today?
I did not. Well, and it's funny because you were talking, I think we've talked about this before, because in college up in Ames, I lived just west of the design center, right? So that's on the northwest side of campus. When the Stones were at Jack Trice, I thought they were in my front yard. That was a loud concert.
I was at that concert, and it was one of the best concerts I've ever seen in my life.
It was
because that's
crazy.
That was a bunch of old guys back then, and they played their tails off for a long time. It was 3.5 hours.
Right.
It was crazy. So
there's on, I think it's Reels or TikTok. I don't know which one it is, but it's like Start Me Up. You know, Mick doing the dance, and then Keith, everybody went, no. It's somebody took all the music out of it, and then they have him going with all the movement that he's doing, and I'm crying because it's just an old man, he's trying to get a fly off his back.
The things you pick
I'm
up
sorry.
On.
That's hilarious.
So the only thing I ever remember about Jack Trice, concert-wise, is my lovely wife took me and a bunch of friends up to see Pink Floyd, and she was
pregnant.
8 months pregnant with Zach.
That wasn't Jack Trice. That was Unidome.
No, this was outdoors.
Really?
It was that. Okay. I don't think it was called Jack Trice at that particular time. I don't know how long it's been called Jack Trice Field.
Okay, continue.
But so we had drank most of the time up there, and we're going in. And
for
she
radio
just,
listeners that don't have cameras, there's drank is in air quotes.
Yes. And she was not enjoying, and she was miserable. And when I came out, and she was tired of all of us. And I'm like, the best part, man, there were pigs flying in there, and it was so cool. And she just said, I'm never speaking to you again. She's never forgiven me for that. And I've done some really stupid things.
I had not been to a Pink Floyd concert, but when it was at the Unidome, I had friends go up there to it. And the same thing, it was, man, there was pigs flying. I just went, sure, there was pigs flying. Yeah.
We went to that one, too. That one was fun as well. So we didn't miss a lot of those concerts.
All right, so let's go back. Let's put
a cherry on this for a segment.
We don't need to talk an entire first hour of golf game. But
there shows how much we love golf.
Well, there is so much sting to it. There's so much story to it. There's so much, one side of the coin is, I will not wrong you. We are patriots. All this. And the next thing, it's a pretty big check. And it's a morality conversation. It, to me, is what it really is. It's less about the sport, and it's like, everyone has a price.
Yeah.
Correct?
And the price for most of them was family time. That was
right.
What they did. I'm
but
doing
again, this. Talk about, it was family time, and I'll give you twice as much money.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you didn't have to do anything. You got to play in teams. You got to play in shorts.
Right.
Did you see the one? That was my favorite little pick yesterday, was the compromise for LIV in the PGA. You had to have one pant leg all the way down as pants, and your other leg could be shorts. That's going to be their
tone
combo.
The tone low. All right, great. That's going to be awesome. All right, just a couple more of these. Okay. I love the way they're typed up. Another one of the quotes from the, press conference with Rory McIlroy this morning. Somebody asked him, do you still have confidence in Jay Monahan as the commissioner of the PGA Tour? And it says, Rory, parentheses, deep breath, I do. Sure you do.
Sure you do.
Let's see here. With PIF, which is the money behind LIV, PIF is going to keep spending money in golf, whether I liked it or not. At least the PGA Tour controls how the money is spent. Okay, because there is still a board of directors. There still will be, what did I hear, four out of how big it is. There is a large number of PGA member or board members to be on there.
Right.
So with that being said, I like how it said they're going to keep spending a lot of money, and like it or not, at least the PGA Tour controls how that money is spent. Control, funny little word, isn't it?
It is a funny word.
When I try to remove myself from the situation and look at the bigger picture, I can think ultimately this is going to be good for the game and professional golf. It unifies and secures its future. From the first one I read to this is all the same press conference this morning that he's like, I can't beat it. I still want to golf. I guess we're going to do this.
Or you have Jack Nicklaus, who at the memorial, I want live guys to die to, you know what? This is probably better for the game of golf. I'm like, talk about, you know, and that hurts. That hurts as much as Dick Vitale. I mean, two of my favorite people of all time can't just go, you know what? It's business. I mean, if anybody knows anything about business, it's Jack Nicklaus. My God.
And that was, it's funny you would say that, because Rory said he came to terms with the Saudi money in sports and golf. I see what's happening in other sports. I see what's happening in other businesses. I've just got to resign myself to it.
And it's a really crazy thing that the person that stuck up the most, because Tiger's been MIA since he hurt his foot again, barely out there. The person who's not, I mean, the PGA, it's an American PGA. And the person sticking up for it the most is an Englishman, Rory McIlroy.
Right.
It's crazy.
But it's the PGA.
But I mean, he lives there and has dual citizenship.
But it evolved we had, it used to be just, you know, local guys, lack of a better term. But I mean, we do have, you know, from a Spaniard to an Englishman to me, and we have European guys that are relevant in the PGA. So they played in Scotland also.
Yep.
I mean, but still, with Tiger not saying anything right now, I think he is not wanting to pop off, and because I everybody's like, he's got enough money.
And he's got money riding on this, too.
No, and that's just where I was alluding to. He has enough money, right? But he also has a son that's coming up and is going to be one of the best.
Yeah, who won a tournament this past week. A
junior tournament by
under par.
Several strokes.
Yeah.
But with that being said, he wants his son to play at the highest level, which is going to be this, whether you like where the money came from or not. I'm sure that is a thought of his. But there's a pretty big brand of golf attire, equipment that has TW on it.
Right. No.
So he's not going to distance himself from this.
And he has to find TWR Foundation that they donate a lot of money to. And he has other things. He's doing this with Rory and doing the fun golfing. Is that TRW? Is that what that was? TRW Golf, where they're him and Rory and a bunch of superstars and film people and celebrities.
They play golf in a live format.
Right.
In shorts with loud music. And Let's see. Live came around. The pots went up dramatically quickly. They created events where it was fun and ruckus opposed to on the, I mean, so they figured out that people did like that and enjoyed that. You just don't have to take that type of stuff where it's beer bongs and Hawaiian lays, and you're going to go down to Augusta doing that stuff. You're not doing that. You can have the reverence and the legacy and the history.
And they get that.
But
does this happen?
But look at Waste Management.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
They love it. And the guys love to go there.
Hole 16 or whatever with the stadium. My Lord.
And they want to do that. They want to replicate that. Last one, and we'll put a bow on. Does this happen in this chronological, in these past 5 weeks, if Brooks Koepka doesn't win the PGA?
No. I think it would be drug out until the fall. I think we're talking about it over the winter.
Him almost winning the Masters and then winning the PGA, I think the writing was on the wall.
It took the legitimacy out of the PGA.
Yep.
You guys are winning your own little club circuit. You're not beating the best in the world. I agree with that. And again, what Liv created, you with that much money, you're telling me, the only place we can get on is the CW. It was never about, you know, it's a shotgun start and all these different guys and music and shorts. If they wanted to promote it, you put the right person behind it.
Right.
Like a Brett Yormack or something like that, for God's sakes, that you put somebody behind it, that you promote it and you make it a spectacle on TV and people would have watched it. They didn't care.
Because they still got money. It
wasn't the money rights. We are going to put this upon the PGA guys and watch them just spin into the ground until they say, okay, your money's good. Let's do this.
Yeah, we're going to do it together. And you know what? And some of them got, you know, I'm just looking. This is my favorite part of this whole thing is I get to now see Pat Perez and Joel Damon playing golf together. Those are my two favorite guys because they do not care about how they look, how they just love to play golf.
Right.
And I love it.
Do you think when all the little, I guess, Band-Aids start coming off the wounds and stuff like that, do you think before LIV was created that the Saudi money approached the PGA and said, you're a classy, expensive group. We would like to be a major sponsor. And somebody turned around and said, I don't want your stinking money.
I do. And that was a mistake because
they went really,
I don't think anybody passed that information down to the other players because if they would, it's the reason the NBA, we've said this, it's the reason the NBA is as big as the NBA is. They take China money and it's just as big as Saudi Arabia money. And nobody talks about it.
Well, yeah, it's China money for them, but I mean, where are the shoes made?
Exactly.
They're not made in North Carolina.
No.
Because we
can't get the school kids out of North Carolina schools to make the shoes during the day.
I know. This has become such a talking point because it is, everyone is going, it is so quick. I hope people, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't take their money. Yes, you would. When the numbers get that big and your kid.
Steen on Sports, Happy Hour with Scott.
Whoa, slow down. No. You can sell Steen on Sports. We're hanging on to Happy Hour.
No, but if you want to be we're here for the taken.
But anyway, it's
I'm going to ask Kurt questions, though.
Kurt questions? All right. I thought you said Kirk, or what were you going to say?
No, not Captain Kirk.
Like Iowa?
Kurt.
Iowa football coach questions, or what?
You know,
yes, I know.
Kurt questions. Yes,
I'm using a very curt tone.
I'm using my dictionary.
Yes, you're a very curt tone. But anyway,
okay, we got a minute.
We're letting it go, but it becomes a conversation of it's quick for people to go, I wouldn't do it. I don't want there. I'm sorry. I understand, and I love your morality. I have it as well. It's tough to get away from it.
We live in a country that we can't agree on.
Yes, we're trying to do cars that don't use petroleum.
We do.
Yeah. Could we be self-sufficient? Yeah. Are we going to be? No.
No, because we
don't.
World
economy is real.
We don't like Elon Musk. He's not a good guy.
Well, I mean, there's just so many things. It's you have to pick and choose sometimes which soapbox you get to stand on.
And it's fun to stand on the soapbox every once in a while, but it's hard to stand on a soapbox when you actually have to live what you do. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We're bringing sports your way every day. We have Potpourri coming up. We think we have Randy coming in here so we can talk some baseball. I am ready to talk baseball.
Nice.
We'll be back right after this break. We are more than halfway through this week. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Happy Hour _ SS, at Scott Brower _13, and at, what did I miss? Happy Hour Scott. Me, at Steen on Sports. There you go.
I'm sure more than just you missed yourself.
There you go. You can also check us out on Facebook. Minnesota Twins playing the Rays tonight. Joined in progress. The Rays took it to them last night. Hopefully we can get back on our winning ways. I am going to take Palmer Group, employee-owned company, provided employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates, companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently over 500 jobs on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking, keeping both the staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. Okay. You, my friend. Let's see here.
There you go.
I'm going somewhere. Here we go.
Hussein Khosrow Ali Vazari. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
His stage name was the Iron Sheik.
Yes.
You saw that today,
yes.
Correct?
So just so everybody, I walk in, Tony, next door Tony.
Yes.
Biggest sports news in the world, man. The Iron Sheik.
Tony Khan.
Brother.
Yes.
The Iron Sheik.
Iron Sheik came at a time when it was so Hulk Hogan represented America, and the Iron Sheik came in, and it was right after the hostage, the Iranian hostage. I mean, he knowingly took, because we talk about it. We talk about it all the time, the in sports, in whether it's sports entertainment of WWE, but you have to have a hero and you have to have a heel. And the Iron Sheik took it and he went after being the heel with a zest like you wouldn't believe.
Oh,
he wore the I'm sure the terminology is wrong, but I mean he wore the Middle Eastern garb on his head. He had the mustache, the blasphemy towards the American dogs and all these different things, and everyone ate it up.
Oh, they did. It was huge. He was one of the turning points of really making it work.
Right. Well, and he was the heir, like with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I'm sure we missed an opportunity because we were supposed to interview Hacksaw at Bacon Fest, but life threw us a curve on that day.
Yep.
But I bet you there's some stories out of those too.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And you know, it's funny. And he was what everybody is saying to, that's a character.
Right.
Individually him. Amazing.
Oh, he was loved.
Amazing love. Human being. Yes.
And it's because if I was reading through on some background stuff like that, but he was Iranian born.
Yes.
He was, if I remember correctly, he was actually a Olympic champion wrestler.
Yes.
And then defected because of
Greco-Roman.
Yes. But they wanted to change some things or whatever, and he defected, and he was a, well, and I guess I didn't realize it. And it's always hindsight when a day like this happens and you do a little research. He's been on social media for the last quite a while, I would say. I mean, not just the last few years, but his presence on social media was a hoot.
Yes. And a lot of them are.
Right.
And
exactly.
And they understand. And that's the thing that people don't understand, because they take it so seriously, that these guys are all really good friends and a great big family, because you can't do what they do 190, 210 times a year and not be close with the people that you're doing it with.
Right.
It's just, you couldn't do it,
right?
Because it'd get personal. And that's, you know, some of the people that haven't made it in that business is because they made it too personal. They took things too personally.
Right.
Instead of understanding that it was entertainment.
Right. And here's the stuff that I'm starting to like to hear, because you do get your Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, you get your Kevin Nash. Love Kevin Nash.
I do too.
He is hilarious, but he played a great part. That group of guys, if you will, to hear the stories of the Steiners, Steiner brothers, and then we just lost
Rick and Scott Steiner.
Rick and Scott Steiner.
You just keep throwing them to me, man. I'll keep knocking them out of the park.
We just lost him, Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as these guys got older, and it just, you, it, Superman does have kryptonite.
Oh, he does.
Your heroes do age, and it just, you're like,
Scott Hall.
Oh. Yeah, Scott Hall.
Yeah. No, and they do.
But that was, because this was in the 80s when it was, it
big.
Was different, and when it took
big.
Its first step up,
yep.
And but yeah, I thought that was so. Tony said the biggest sports
news is the Iron Sheik. That's why I love Tony.
I've got one for you, because you know, you, it's Steen on Sports. You were here first. I'm merely your Ed McMahon. But I was speaking to somebody in my normal day life, and they said, "Hey, recognize your voice on the radio last night." I said, "Well, thank you." She didn't say good or bad, but she said recognized you. You guys are pretty good. And it surprised me, because I didn't think there was a person out there that said it. She goes, "Until you started talking about Caitlin Clark, I turned the channel." Wow.
Really?
I didn't realize there, but you know what? Not saying it. It's she's an Iowa State person or an Iowa or whatever it was, but I can understand that.
Caitlin Clark's not Caitlin Clark if she doesn't have people that don't like her.
And that's exactly where I was going. You can't.
You can.
It is not 100% that the world is, oh, she is. She walks on water. She's this. You have to have, As much as people,
yep, you gotta have it. You gotta be 51-50.
Right, you love
Van Halen
Tiger?
had a rule, man.
Yeah, there you go. Well, 51-50. That's police talk for crazy. But anyway, not that I know. But anyway, but it does. It takes. You have to have. Angel Reese had so many new fans, and they all didn't love her.
Right.
I mean, her. But it was.
And she is nowhere near what she was portrayed as. Right. Even doing that, because she's not that person. But she's like, oh my gosh, I can act this way, and I can get followers.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's same as we get into Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless, stuff like that. It's I don't care what you're clicking for. If you hate me, love me, whatever, just keep clicking.
We got four minutes.
Okay.
Skip Bayless, was he out of line going after Shannon like he did? Shannon Sharp.
Yes, because I think their show is losing the edge.
Yeah.
Their show is getting older. Their show is which I mean, good God, we're two dudes in our 50s. It's not like we're cutting edge.
Skip Bayless has got to be in his late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, but he, good God, he works out like
he does. I don't.
Anyway, yes,
I've just never seen. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like Skip Bayless, and that's behind the scenes people that don't like Skip Bayless.
Right.
You won't get that same thing with Stephen A.
No,
people that Stephen A. is because. He did a. I was looking at social media the other day, and he was on there. And he goes, "Man, listen, we do all this stuff." He goes, "You know what? One of my favorite people. I would do anything in the world for this guy, and we fight constantly." Michael Irvin. He goes, "Man, we are fire and gas when we're on, but when we're off, we are buddies. We do all kinds of stuff together."
Does that say that it's just it's an entertaining act?
Well, no. I think they have passionate views, but I don't think it. They didn't let it. I don't think Skip and Shannon have ever been close.
Right.
I just think that they were using the
two personalities to create a show. Yes.
And the scary thing for Skip Bayless is, I don't think I'd want to tick off Shannon Sharp. He's a big dude,
right? He
and
is.
And Skip Bayless, even though he works out a lot, dude, he's like 5'11", maybe 160 pounds.
Well, and you and I seem to be pretty cordial and like each other, but we've had bonfire conversations about. Religion about that got
heated.
A little heated,
yeah.
But you know, it was also 10 o'clock and a bunch of high lifes, and
you're right.
You don't talk religion.
That's why we don't drink and do radio shows on public radio.
Exactly.
Now,
big no-no.
No,
big no-no.
But it was it's interesting because I, you know, when you're trying to do this and how I got started, man, I just got thrown in. I had no idea. And I'm like, I just can't do that. I can't pick a fight with somebody and not believe what I'm picking a fight with. And the issues that I have with a lot of these things is I try to look at both sides. And anytime that I have agreement on both sides, I don't know how to fight. I mean, I want to fight something that.
Well, and it's the easy format of sitting here talking to these that it has to be a fight.
Right.
Fight gets close.
That we're in the commercial break going, okay, I'm going to say this, and then we're going
to
go.
No, that's why we have a grease board and a chart, and you get to check what you want to talk about. So, whatever.
Now, I do on occasion, you know, maybe once, twice a year, say some stuff just to see what reaction I can get out of you.
You do. You do. Yeah. And the day you did it to Randy, I was chuckling. I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie.
Okay. No. So we have that. I get to talk some baseball. I'm pretty excited.
We're going to talk some baseball, but
I'm interested just because I apologize for this, and we won't do it for very long, but Randy is a sports guy and he is a deep thinker. I want to hear what he thinks about this live and everything, because I guarantee you he has an opinion. I'm very curious to see what it is.
Money via sports. Randy has an opinion.
He has and it's a good opinion. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Randy Weho for Scott and I. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Second hour of this Wednesday. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3. 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at ScottBrower_13, and at HappyHour_SS. Facebook at 1700 The Champ, website 1700thechamp.com. Twins are on tonight. Right after, going to join In Progress, so they're going to be. I think they were in the. They were still in the first inning when we got out here the other day. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was me. It felt like it barely started, but anyway,
It's going to be right on there. So, Randy Wehofer coming in. We're just waiting for him to get here, and
I know it can't be fuel this time. It's got to be traffic.
Traffic's been horrible.
I know it is. It's just
since
the Thursday before Memorial Day.
It's been bad. It's been slow and it's horrific.
People are angry.
Yeah, and it makes all the rest of us angry. They are honking their horns and flashing their lights.
I'm glad I don't drive a little one.
I know. You got the next read.
Heritage Building Maintenance. Heritage Building Maintenance provides quality, health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa. Heritage's future focus is driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide a first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, provide peace of mind, and protecting our future by being certified partners in science-proven microbial control and provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services.
Very nicely done.
Thank you. I surprised you right as we went to break. I said, hey, we went and had a walk around Gray's Lake last night because that's what the wife and I do.
Right.
And barricades all over the place. We're both like
Iron Man.
And I said, it's got to be a triathlon because that's a bike staging area. That's a swimming area there. And it was, and sure enough, I looked, it's Ironman 70.3 Des Moines.
We didn't know. So we're going to talk about that.
I was surprised.
But he's going to be nice, and he's going to go let Randy in.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. You say nice things in my absence.
I will. I would let you stay here, but you'd tell me no. I would walk and get him. So, it seems, and so we went down the list of sponsors, and they're big sponsors. I'm just curious why it doesn't seem like it's out there much, out in public knowledge. It's a big time event. It matters, and it seems strange that we haven't heard more about everything. So we'll see what happens with that. Welcome in, Randy. So I just told them that it seems, you know, with the list of sponsors they had, you would thought that it would have been out there more.
Well, it did. And, you know, we both don't shy away from this. I mean, we listen to a lot of different sports radio throughout the day.
I haven't heard it on anything.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We listen to a lot of sports throughout the day, whether it's local, syndicated, all these different things. I haven't heard one thing because my wife goes, is this an IMT thing? I said, no, that's the marathon. I said, it must be a triathlon, and it's the Ironman.
Yeah, crazy. I don't understand.
I was very surprised.
Randy Wehofer, how are you?
I'm good.
Good to have you in.
I swear I leave 5 minutes earlier every time, and I'm still 3 minutes late, no matter how many minutes earlier I leave.
Traffic's horrendous. We were just talking about that. And people are not nice. They're not friendly. Randy Wehofer with us. He is at Randy Wehofer on Twitter. He is the vice president of the Iowa Cubs and assistant general manager. So you have a homestand coming up. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. In your wildest dreams, did you think people would be there at 6 a.m. on Caitlin Clark Day?
No, I thought that was a little excessive, and that was only a couple of people. It wasn't like hundreds. It was a handful were there that early.
It's still a handful.
From about 1:30 in the afternoon, it became steady of people arriving to get in line.
Wow.
Which is still pretty early for gates at 5 and game at 6. So,
a rousing success.
You know, I'm sure there are some people that think my name is Mud because there's just so much you can do when 3,000 people are there 3 hours ahead of first pitch. We just don't have the campus set up there with the rivers on two sides and the streets and things. We were as creative as we could to create lines, and people were terrific. I think I talked to everybody multiple times, reminding them about clear bag policy and all the things that they had for getting there early and holding their spot that they weren't going to be allowed to bring in to the stadium with them, and making sure people understood where they were going, and just being quite honest with them. I was counting on 10% of Iowa Knights that when people got inside that they were going to treat each other and act accordingly, and really for the most part they did, and it was really good. And it's challenging in our footprint to be able to handle that volume of people, but you know, it was our biggest crowd in 4 years since pandemic time, going back to 2019, and Caitlin was great. We got through a lot of people, and we said that there was no guarantee that if you got there at 6 o'clock you were going to meet Caitlin, and there were some people probably a little bit disappointed, but we made a lot of people happy too, and it was a beautiful night. The weather was great, and so by all accounts, I think it went well.
Where'd you set up? Were you on the picnic level, on the second level?
So we had her out in the party deck in right field. That we took that line all the way, you know, so you entered at A and B and through the concourse. Normally we would do that inside gate B, but we knew the crowd would be so big that nobody could get anything to eat or drink. We also had catch on the field before the game, which we wanted to enter over on the third base side. So we set her up on the party deck, formed the line up the ramps, through the fountain area, up the ramp to go to the deck, had some maze set up on the deck, and that line went all the way back to gate B before we cut it at 5:20 and estimated where we would get to by the time that she was going to be done at 6:30. And she gave an extra 15 to 20 minutes from where we cut the line to make sure that at that point, you know, she extended it. We told people, we can't promise you'll get to the front. The end was in sight, so she stayed with it, and so we took care of a lot of people. But I'm sure there were, you know, just like the NCAA tournament, no matter how many teams you let in, somebody's going to be mad that they were the line got cut there.
Exactly. So she's a fantastic kid.
Yeah, we tried to communicate the best we could with everyone, and for the most part, I thought it all went pretty well.
Good. What a great thing. So a good homestand.
Yeah, other than the weather, you know, we suspended two games. When we got to Sunday, we joked that it felt like game 10 of a 6-game series because we suspended one game with the bases loaded in the bottom of the 10th inning at a 2-1 count and one out, and we couldn't continue. We came back out the next day, and two pitches, the game was over. We moved on to the Friday night's game. You know, so there was some unusual things, but fortunately, the weather pattern reversed, that the weather was worse Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday were terrific, which, you know, for us is best case scenario.
Yes.
When Tuesday's good and Friday's bad, that's not ideal for when you've got the most people in the ballpark. So, the official start of summer in the first series since school is out, and we're cranked up and ready to go for the next 12 and 13 days starting on Tuesday.
You know I was going to do this.
Okay.
Caitlin Clark bobblehead, eBay, winning bid. Take a guess. $177.
That's it?
So that's just one of them that I found. So I'm not saying I'm looking for one, but I knew they were going to be out there already.
You have Mr. Thomas Nicholas coming in. And for everybody that may not know that, you're not a baseball fan. Rookie of the year.
Yeah.
With the bionic arm.
Henry Rowengartner. You may know him better as Henry Rowengartner.
That is
Rosenbagger.
Yes, exactly it is right. the best. That's one of the things coming up on June 24th. I'm trying to. I was real late to the thing because it knocked out on me. There is the promotion schedule. Yeah,
so the big thing coming up next week is, we've got Dog Days and Dollar Hot Dogs on Tuesday, second of three Dog Days for the year. So that'll start things. We'll wear the caucuses uniforms again because it's Flag Day on Wednesday for the day game. And then we get into the weekend with Friday night fireworks. We've got our Matt Mervis bobblehead giveaway on Saturday. And that is the first of three. So it's Mervis, which is a big deal. But then the three that we're doing, Mervis, Killian, and Brendan Davis, are a set. So the background there, they all go together with a photo of the stadium on the back, Mervis and Davis being the last two Cubs minor league players of the year, and Killian certainly the top rated pitching prospect as of a year ago in the Cubs system and has been up and down. So they're cool on their own, But if you come to all three games, they all fit together and are a set.
What's the first 500 people, first 1,000 people?
1,000. First 1,000 early arriving.
Okay.
Nice. Your first kind of two-week homestand? Is this the first one?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, we had the double road trip there in May. We were out for a long time there from...
Which is, for the way weather was, probably not a bad thing, but I think the weather was pretty nice while you were all out for those 2 weeks.
Yeah, unfortunately. So Mother's Day was the last home game in the May homestand, and it rained a little bit that day. We got the game in, but it rained. We were gone for 15 straight days, and it didn't rain a drop. And then we got suspended by rain the first day back in that opening series against Columbus. Oh. So theoretically, all the games in June are a good thing, but the way it happened in practice, there were some nice days during that stretch in May. But certainly with school still being in and graduations and all those kinds of things, you had been competing for attention.
Right. And you'll be there on Father's Day, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, Father's Day, we'll finish up that first series, and then Memphis comes to town. You got the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry, and that's the only time Memphis is in town this year. So that's always a big day or a big week. The Cardinals are certainly the most interesting visiting team on our schedule for turnout and attendance and people wearing their jerseys and their hats, so that's always a fun week.
Just to kind of look ahead for a couple of things, that Thursday, June 22nd with the Memphis Redbirds, welcome to Jurassic Ballpark. Huge deal. Love it.
Yeah, so Ed's Dinosaurs is the name of the group, and South Bend has been bringing them in for a long time, and they're so popular in South Bend that they do 2 days. So we're going to bring them in on Thursday, June 22nd. There's some interactive things that they provide. So if it at all you're interested in that kind of stuff, it's really cool. It's interactive. There'll be stuff set up inside and outside. So before you come in, after you get in, and really cool stuff.
And one other that caught my attention because I do a bunch of business with Unity Point. Friday, June 23rd, Unity Point Baseball Giveaway Day.
It's going to be Friday the 23rd and Sunday the 25th. They've got both days where we'll be giving away baseballs coming in and a lot of tickets out for their employees and general admission, but there's still certainly other seats available for those days, and fireworks on Friday, and it's a Copa Demonios Day on that Sunday when we wrap up that series against Memphis also. So as you might expect, we've crammed as much stuff into a couple of homestands here into summer, and really it's not too soon to start thinking about 4th of July. We're home on the 4th. We'll do the annual citizenship ceremony. That'll start that next homestand after this stretch. It's just one day of holiday fireworks. Now, last year we were home the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It was a weekend. We had three different days of a big fireworks show. The way the schedule falls this year, we just have our one big holiday date with the citizenship ceremony before on the 4th of July, and that's always a popular day. So we encourage you to go get those tickets early. Make sure you get the best seat possible.
Talk a little bit about the ball club. 31-24, probably a really good record. And with AAA, you're always, you know, you have people that are up, you have people that come down. But 31-24 with the weather and new travel and everything, got to be pretty happy.
Yeah, and the team's been fun to watch. You know,
we're certainly
sending Mervis and Morrell to the big leagues. Takes some firepower out of your lineup. You take an older guy like Mike Tauchman. And he's up right now until Bellinger gets back. You know, but we still have guys in the lineup. You know, Nelson Velasquez, you know, Darius Hill is doing his thing and doing a nice job. You know, Jared Young was our best hitter last year, and now he's back in the middle of the lineup or one of them. You know, we still have a good group. You know who's not on a whole lot of prospect lists but has been with us all year and is a really – kind of an under-the-radar, terrific athlete and terrific player is Jake Slaughter. Plays third base and second base. He's got some pop. There's a little more to it than meets the eye. He doesn't come out and look like he's going to overwhelm you, but he does everything really, really well. And he's a guy, he's one of those guys where some guys, if you catch him on the right day, it looks like they're a future Hall of Famer. And then some guys you need to watch every day to appreciate how steady and good they are. Slaughter's in that. You got to watch him every day to understand how good he is. I've been impressed by him this year, and I didn't know much about him. He's an LSU guy, so he's played at a high level and in college, and this is his first go around at AAA. I've been impressed by him.
There's a lot of different places that you see people. You know, you can play shortstop. They've moved him to the outfield. You can see different things. Not a lot of second baseman, third basemans in the world.
No,
I mean, because they are two totally different everything. I mean, nothing is the same in those two positions. So that's impressive right there.
Yeah. And, you know, Amaya has been back and forth a couple of times and is back up now. So there's all these parts that are interesting. And I have a feeling the pitching staff, the way the Chicago bullpen is going right now, that we're going to see a little bit of shell game with guys going back and forth here as they try to get things figured out. So that's always kind of a to be determined. I think that's the thing. You know, now that Hendricks is back up and Wisniewski is back up, it feels like that starting rotation for Chicago is really good, and I'll take my chances with any one of those guys. But the bullpen, they need to figure out some roles and get some guys going. Keegan Thompson has looked better since he's come down as a part of the bullpen, so he's another guy you get to see at Principal Park that you're familiar with. So there's still lots of good names on this roster and interesting stories.
When you look in the major leagues right now, the two things that stand out is – the teams that are really playing well is they're hitting well or they're pitching staffs. And it didn't used to be that you would say pitching staff. You would just say pitching. But a lot of these teams, Tampa Bay, even Texas to a certain extent, getting relief pitching and middle relief and starting pitching, it's working, and that's why they have some leads in these divisions.
Well, the way they put together these rosters now, the way they manage pitch counts, is you need everybody. You can't just ride three or four horses anymore.
Nick's exactly right. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Scott in here. I'm in here. Randy's in with us as always. It's great on Wednesdays. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. We'll be right back. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter, at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Steen on Sports, at Happy Hour underscore SS. And since Randy Wehofer is in here with us, he is at Randy Wehofer as well. Twins, Rays joined in progress as soon as this show is over. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company. Like I said, Randy Wehofer in here with us. He is the VP of the Iowa Cubs and assistant general manager. And we were talking about everything going on at Principal Park. Taking just a couple of seconds here. It came out the other day that Major League Baseball is looking to expand. I mean, they're looking at expansion. Everybody's looking at expansion. They had five places on here. The first one we talked about yesterday was
Montreal.
Yeah, well, no, the first one we talked about yesterday was Las Vegas because everybody thought the A's are going there. And I don't think that's happening because I don't think Las Vegas wants to deal with the president and CEO of the A's for the same reason that you're saying, is Randy, is that they're just not even trying and they're taking people's money. And
yeah, it's not really a good look. It doesn't look like a guy that you're ready to do
a huge deal.
You're ready to hand a $500 billion facility.
Not any. So the five are Las Vegas, Montreal, which I have deep beliefs in, Portland, Charlotte, and Nashville. So my first question I wanted to ask you when we first saw that, what exactly are you looking for when you're trying to field an expansion team? Just the parameters. I mean, are you looking at population? Are you looking at what they currently have? I mean, is it that kind of thing? Or
is there an outcry for it?
Yeah, that's number one that we wanted to ask you. Do you think there is an outcry for, especially with pitching the way it is there an outcry for expansion in baseball?
So So just in general?
Yes.
The game will get worse if it expands at this point in time, because it got worse the last time they expanded, because it thins out the talent pool, and it takes probably 5 years for that to catch up for, you know, the next 50 guys who are not currently in the big leagues to become big leaguers, which means, you know, you've diluted the talent pool there a little bit, and you've already shrunk the draft, you've already shrunk the minor league system, so it would be challenging. But I think that there is a real thing. I heard this on a call. FOL, figure out later. There's potential, and we'll figure it out later. Figure out all the details.
Because these cities are offering big-time money.
Well, and I think the interesting thing about that list is Portland couldn't even support their AAA team.
Right, and we talked about that.
And lost minor league baseball. Montreal has already
lost major league baseball.
Right.
With a great team.
And Charlotte, Nashville, and Las Vegas are current AAA cities that have other major league sports. But I have no idea how to measure what their appetite for also supporting Major League Baseball is. So if you live in Nashville, and they do a nice job with their AAA facility, and they built a new ballpark 6, 7, 8 years ago now. I suppose it's longer than I think because of all the craziness of the last few years. But it's not like they sell out the AAA stadium every night. And if you're the avid sports fan in Nashville, can you afford to be a season ticket holder for the Titans, the Predators, and a Major League Baseball team? Is there enough sponsorship money to go around at the Major League investment level for all of those? There's probably money in those markets, but are they looking to spend it in that kind of way? You know, at least baseball balances the NFL and NHL seasons where you're not overlapping, so you get a year-round presence in those markets from a sponsorship standpoint, which is valuable. But, I've never once had a thought about wanting to own a team or wanting to, you know, I love what I do at the ground level and dealing with people. I've taken an unusual path to get to the seat that I'm in, starting as a broadcaster and wanting to chase it that way. So I can't say that I'm an expert on what are all the factors that go into those things. I've been in lots of rooms with people with means discussing things in my presence, but I listen,
right?
during those conversations, I don't offer things. So, there are always, you know, what are you willing to risk? You know, I think most of this is risk tolerance. You know, and I think a lot of, you know, all of the great success stories about, you know, I use The Rock as an example because it's a story I know, and a guy that I was around, you know, that he had $7 to his name trying to be a Canadian football player, and now he can afford anything in the world that he wants, and he just, you know, the risk tolerance to lay it all on the line and sink or swim, that's not common in human beings.
No.
And so there is a certain amount of that goes with, you know, I just Nolan Ryan's famous quote is, it's hard to beat a guy that never quits. So if you have some resources and you're never willing to give up, once you're bound to find something. We just don't relate because we don't have the resources to make the one mistake. If we make it a mistake one time, we've lost everything that we've accumulated to this point, and that's a scary proposition for most of us to consider.
I think the questions that I get asked the most, either asked the most or asked to ask you, is since minor leagues did this and they're continuing to do this, the pitch clock, and now in the major leagues, is it still working the way that everybody wanted it to, and is it going to work in major league?
As long as it's still enforced. You know, I think is for every rule there is a tug to try to find the loophole in it from professional athletes. The whole "if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying"
right.
Kind of mentality that some are in. So, you know, I already hear discussion about the hitter gets to call timeout, but the pitcher doesn't. You know, and so when the pitch clock was first introduced at the AAA level, it wasn't enforced. Therefore, it didn't work. they increased enforcement so it is effective in accomplishing its goal. But at some point, the players and coaches will look for loopholes and the umpires will get weary of enforcing it, and then it goes away and it wanes. So as long as the umpires have the support of the commissioner's office to call it every time it's necessary to call it, it will work.
Good. I like that part.
He did. It's funny you talk about, though, because he did say the one game would have got done, but there was an issue with the clock, you said?
The pitch com, the communication piece between the catcher and the pitcher. We brought in a relief pitcher, and he couldn't get the signal from the catcher. His pitch com wasn't working.
Gotcha,
so we
gotcha.
Had a three-minute delay in the top of the 10th inning while we found a pitch com that had a charged battery. And if without that 3 minutes, that game probably doesn't get suspended. You know, I mean, every second mattered. And for that matter, just before the rain delay, when the bases were loaded, Columbus sent their pitching coach out to talk with the guy who had just walked to load the bases and had thrown two balls. There was no chance that that pitcher was going to throw three strikes before two balls, the way the last 5 minutes had gone before that. Wow. And we were going to win that game, but, you know, saved by the rain.
And just the way it is. So in limited use so far, you know, you talked to us last time that having the challenge system seems to be something that's on a lot of people's minds, that's very efficient in working instead of having balls and strikes be called by a computer. Do you still have it? It's been a couple of weeks. Do you still have that same kind of feel?
Yeah. You know, I talked with one of the players. When we played Friday night, then we lost 15-2 after the completion of the suspended game that ended in two pitches. And Jared Young ended up pitching at the end of that game. And Jared Young had won a challenge as a hitter earlier in the game, and he's lobbing the ball at 55 miles an hour over the plate, and he walked a couple of guys, and a couple of pitches looked like they were really close. And I saw him the next day. I said, you know, what I was hoping for most was that you were going to challenge one of those pitches as a pitcher and be the first guy ever to win a challenge as a pitcher and a hitter in a professional game.
Love it.
And he laughed and took it in the spirit it was intended, and he goes, you know what? I went back and I looked at the video. The umpire was right on all those close pitches. I thought they were right down the middle. I checked it and they weren't. They've got the system running in the background through the video coordinator and checked it. He goes, if I would have challenged, I would have been wrong. So I think the challenge thing is an effective way to realize that the umpires are still really, really good, and to help in those instances where, you know, something gets missed, or it confirms that the umpire was really good on a borderline call. You know, it's a great tool as a visitor in a stadium when the emotion of the moment and that pitch that's a half inch on or a half inch off, you know, you get called. And if you're that batter and you have that recourse now, it's an interesting way. We actually had the jersey auction going on. It was the baseball auction we did for the ALS Association on Friday night. We always close the auction at the end of the fifth inning. So we're watching the monitor, fifth inning ends, pick up the pens, and somebody goes, no, he's challenging it. And that was the one that Jared Young had won. So I had to put the pens back on the table because he won the challenge in the fifth inning, went on for another 3 minutes. I never had an auction extended by a challenge before.
Nice. We got about 4 minutes.
Okay. Because I don't want to, I guess, dive too deep into it, but I would like to ask this of Randy because he is the savant when it comes to answering questions. We've obviously talked extensively about
your savantness. That's what we're going to call it.
Isn't there an idiot on the front of that?
Yeah, there you go. We've talked extensively over the last couple of days since the announcement of obviously the merger, or the money behind LIV Golf now becoming the money behind PGA. And with that being said, the same basis and origin of that money. There is talk that the Saudi money is going into F1. The Saudi money, well, it's already in F1. It's in Major League Soccer throughout the world. They're buying.
It's in tennis.
It's in tennis, right? But now everybody with this, that the moral argument of they just bought these guys. They just kept making the numbers bigger, and now they doesn't matter who or how, if they're bad. There's talk of an MLB team. Is there? is there going to be pushback? Is the where the money comes from really that big of a deal as long as it's enough money?
I think those kinds of things will always be a big deal to some. I think the transparency is what buys you credibility or loses your credibility. I think what Jay Monahan is going through right now is he used that as the point of why it shouldn't be done, and within a year completely contradicted everything he had said and done and went the other way. I think of the steroid scandals in baseball, that the guys that went to Congress and shook their fists and fingers and said, I've never done this, and then it was proven that they did, get no forgiveness. But yet Jason Giambi, who was a guy you want to have a beer with, nobody cared that he took steroids. And I think, you know, it was almost expected the way his personality was, is that was kind of part of it. I think if you're transparent as a person, and I think people will respect that all you care about is as much money as you can get, because I think a lot of people are envious of being in that position. But when you stand on one side and say that the other side is evil, and then you cross the road, you're always going to get a lot of problems. So if there's a Major League Baseball influence and they come out and say, we need this to accomplish this goal that will make the game better, there will be some people that will boycott and hate it, just like all the other reasons that they've boycotted, and the strike in 94 and canceling the World Series and people that never came back and all those kinds of things. But I think the general public will buy the transparency and the honesty, and the moral compass of the rest of the world probably won't be as outraged as the minority of people, and the show will go on. But I think that's the problem that golf's facing right now, is just the blatant hypocrisy and turnaround in point of view on that.
Right. They were pulling at heartstrings. They were pulling at patriotic strings, all these different things. Now it's like, well, it's going to make a better product.
Because we'll get more money.
Right, exactly.
That's always a tough sell, right? Because, and I'm going to hold one, because I want to talk about, since he brought up the steroid use and how it kind of changed, and I want to talk that when we come back, but we're running out of time. I think on the whole deal is, I think Commissioner Moynihan, I think he knew all along that they were going to end up taking that money. He just couldn't do it at that time.
Right.
And I
mean, we had that discussion earlier today.
I think that's the part that you just want to shake your fist and go, like, that's why a lot of those guys are angry at it.
Right. Well, like I said, this first thing came up, they said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be a part. We don't want your dirty money. They said, we got a lot of dirty money. So, and now they have it. So.
And that's the problem. China money is just as dirty as Saudi Arabia money. It's the way it is.
It's not all roses, brother.
You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Randy, Scott, and I will be back. Last segment on this Wednesday. Be right back. Steen and Scott, we're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower _13, at Steen on Sports, at Happy Hour _SS, and Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. We have Randy Wehofer in here with us for this last segment as well. He's been here since 5. We appreciate it on these Wednesdays. We have Minnesota Twins baseball coming up against the Rays. The Rays took it to them last night. We're going to join in progress as soon as this show is over. As always, we want to thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group for being a sponsor of the show. We couldn't do the show without them. Did I miss anything else? So you are the next homestand comes up.
Next Tuesday,
and it's 2 weeks two weeks in a row, a little more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, back to back series. Yep. So the Monday off day is in the middle, but 6 against Indianapolis and then 6 against Memphis Tuesday through Sunday.
That's all. So you got to get out there. You got to see it. It's there's so many different things to love about going to Principal Park. The baseball is just the icing. But there's so many things to do. There's so many things to see, and you guys do a great job. And we thank you for Randy. We thank you for coming in just so we can sit here and talk baseball. So that is one thing that you said about, you know, we're talking about baseball, where it's at. And the one thing that always irritated me about the steroid era or the discussion is when Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were going through, baseball was way down. And it brought it to a new level where every time one of the two of them came up to bat, they were breaking away from live national TV. It could be Magnum PI or whoever it was.
They were cutting in the middle of cheers, for Pete's sakes.
Yes. And did all that, and it brought baseball back, and baseball knew what was going on. And as soon as it was over and they had sustained success where they were, then they started like knocking them down.
Right.
And it always irritated. And maybe not everybody knew, but you had to have a general idea. I mean, Sammy Sosa was like 198 pounds and then he was 240 pounds and Mark McGwire wasn't as big as he was either. But I think that that's one part of baseball that I think sometimes we forget that. I get it. Being on steroids, it helped. You can't play baseball unless you can take your eye and be able to see things and be able to throw, which one half of 1% in this country can do. It's not one thing that can make you a great ball player.
No. Well, a couple of things for me in the context of all the discussion is baseball was down because of the strike of 94 that canceled the World Series. So
yep.
The home run chase and it was what rejuvenated people's interest, because there was a lot of people after that that said, I'm not coming, I'm not going back.
Right.
And people really they did dig in. They actually voted with their feet, and you know, in the prior to social media, when you just spewed but then didn't do anything about it. You know, people actually had to make a decision. Do I watch or not? Do I go or not? And people were not. And this rekindled some interest. But it wasn't just baseball that was going through this whole performance enhancement era. You know, but baseball is the only game that people cared enough to hold it against him. You know, Sean Merriman got a 4-game suspension for testing positive for steroids with the Chargers and then made the Pro Bowl that same year.
Right.
Nobody cared because basketball players and football players have won the genetic lottery, and there's no thought that I could have ever been part of any of those things. The people still held on to the romantic idea that if my high school or little league coach wasn't such a jerk and played me more, I would have been a major league player.
Yep.
You know, you can sit in the stands and look out, and it's more relatable. And that's why it's also more temperamental, and why there's more nostalgia and passion there, and why people react differently to the mistakes that baseball makes than others. And then there is, in my opinion, the national media that sets some of the agenda with the talking points of things. There was no one representing baseball with a voice.
Right.
Everybody had gone to the MLB network, and it didn't have the penetration into homes. And the NFL always had an advocate in Mike Golic, and the NBA always had an advocate in Jalen Rose and Stephen A. Smith as an NBA reporter, and Dan Patrick's an NBA guy. The only baseball guy that's ever had a national platform is Rob Dibble, and he was terrible and a knucklehead. He never presented anything.
Exactly the same as he was a baseball player.
Yeah, and that's why.
But maybe not the terrible part, but definitely a knucklehead.
Yeah, and that's why he was a personality that was given a daily show, that the athletes in baseball who play daily don't get out of baseball and then go into the grind of hosting a 4-hour show every day. They don't take that on. And so baseball doesn't have a voice to provide the counterpoint. And in watching Sammy Sosa that year, in addition to the steroids, he also stopped swinging at sliders bouncing in the left-handed batter's box this year. And steroids that year, and steroids didn't do that for him. So there are always more things at play. But back to the media point for just a second, I think because there was no one who felt compelled to have baseball as their number one thing, they all felt betrayed, and that narrative against the game of baseball was personal. And I listened to, you know, you just hear it in their voice when the discussion comes up where their heart is. And I don't hold it against them. They're human beings too, but they were just given the opportunity to help And then for those of us that absorb and reflect those opinions and don't think for ourselves in the audience, it just kind of carries on. You know, it's you know, what your parents tell you to do, you turn into them at some point. And what you always hear is what sinks in. So there's a lot of things at play there, and none of that do I point out to excuse the guys who, you know, beat the system. I think we all thought it was cute when Lenny Dykstra showed up 40 pounds heavier and hit a couple of home runs, but he wasn't a threat. And I think everyone underestimated the ego of the top-of-the-line player that would try to go above and beyond the Bonds, the A-Rod, the Clemens. I think we all understood why the 25th guy in a roster might take steroids to avoid being in the minor leagues and the disparity between the major league minimum and the AAA maximum. I don't think anybody really understood the ego of the superstar that was already better than everybody and still felt that they needed that edge. And I think there was, you know, just like the betrayal that's going on in the PGA conversation, I think people felt betrayed, and that is a terrible feeling to have.
And it wasn't ego, and I love the point that you just made, because I don't know about I do believe that with Barry Bonds, and I do believe that with A-Rod. I think they're like, well, look at these guys. We know they're cheating. And I don't think they're, you know, Mark McGwire might have been a Hall of Famer. I mean, he was hitting a lot of home runs. He's a good guy. People liked him. Sammy, I don't know. But I think Barry Bonds did it because he's like, well, let him see what happens when somebody does the same thing who's already a great baseball player, already knows all this stuff, and now watch what I can do.
Well, that's on record. There was a pool party at Ken Griffey Jr.'s house in Orlando, and Bonds, in effect, told everybody. It's been reported and substantiated. Said, if you think those guys are good, get a load of me, like the Joker in Batman, you know, Heath Ledger, you know, get a load of me.
I mean, when you're taking and he's hitting balls, and people, when I mean, that, I think the, and it's a horrible story because it's with someone who is cheating. There were many times where they walked him with the bases loaded because they didn't want him to hit a baseball. I mean, and I just, it ruined baseball for me, just because my baseball high school and college was sitting yelling at my friend, who's better, Ozzie Smith or Robin Yount? And neither one of those guys cheated, and they were just two great baseball players that were total opposites of each other, and it made for arguments, and it was great. And it was great to love Nolan Ryan, because people hated him because, yeah, he throws fast and he strikes a lot of people out, but he walks a lot of people. And then you're like, then he got better and got better. And then you learned your lesson. I mean, my favorite baseball thing I watched is when Robin Ventura knew that he shouldn't have ran to the mound when Nolan Ryan hit him, because he knew he was going to get his butt kicked.
Oh,
but
hurt.
I think he just wanted to do it because he liked Nolan Ryan so much that I'm going to go out there and let him hit me with nookies on top of my head.
Exactly.
That was one of my favorite baseball stories.
I think one of the other things that people didn't think about was the pitching side of it. I think I think we only talk about steroids and home runs still. And Eric Gagne set the saves record and also tested positive and was
35 pounds bigger.
Well, I've got this pulled up, before and after pictures. Bonds, Sosa, McGwire, and Clemens. The most impressive one is Clemens.
Yeah.
Holy man.
And he was an amazing pitcher. Amazing. Didn't need to do it. Ego. I get it.
But in that era, the guys, if you did before and afters of guys in the NBA and the NFL and the NHL and the Olympics and Ben Johnson and the picture of Sports Illustrated and the deltoid on Ben Johnson as he's crossing the line. I mean, it was just as cocaine was part of the culture in the 80s, steroids was part of the culture in the 90s, and nobody knew the long-term repercussions. They thought they were smarter steroids than what Lyle Alzado took in the 70s.
Exactly.
Right. Randy, as always, it's been such a pleasure.
Always
Thank
pleasure.
You very much. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Scott and I will be back in here tomorrow. See you then.